Number one means you're always on top. You're on the number one.
I'm Evan Maindonald, CEO of Melt Property.
I'm Andrew Ward. I'm the founder of Solomon New Homes.
I'm Kavitha Vipulanda, and I'm the director and founder of Allura.
I'm Lloyd Edge from Oz Property Professionals.
I'm Sim Secon, MD of Legal for Landlords, and you're listening to The Naked Property Investor.
Coming up on this week's Naked Property Investor.
Now, the key to building a robust property portfolio is that you need to have strong capital growth fairly quickly so that you can leverage it into your second property, third property, fourth property.
And also,
so if you are in a position to invest, you almost have a responsibility to continue that supply for people to have a roof over their head.
My name is Lauren Howard. I'm the president of Prime Plus Mortgages, which is an Arizona hard money lender, and I'm here with the Naked Property Investor.
From the Property Investor Studios, welcome to the Naked Property Investor with your host, Kizzy Nkwacha.
Kizzy is the publisher of the Property Investor magazine, Money and Finance, and Business Game Changer. Kizzy is also the editor of the successful Property Investment book series and the founder of the Property Wall of Fame. Every week, Kizzy and his guests provide you with the vital tools you need to take your property business to the next level. Now, meet your host, your mentor, and the godfather of all things property, Kizzy Nkwacha.
Hello and welcome to The Naked Property Investor. Susan Farquhar is widely regarded as one of Australia's leading experts in investment property. She's been listed in the top 10 property specialists in Australia. She's won the Chamber of Commerce Award for Excellence in Innovation, and she's also been featured in the book 50 Unsung Heroes of Australian Business. In just a few minutes, I'll be talking to Susan to uncover her secrets of property investment success. Stay tuned. I'm Andrew Ward. I'm the founder of Solomon New Homes, and you're listening to The Naked Property Investor.
Hello, Kizzy. Thanks for the opportunity to talk to you and your listeners. My name is Trent Cripps, and I'm the Director of Property at Your Future Strategy. Your Future Strategy is a national financial, property and tax advisory firm based in Australia. We hope you're all keeping safe and well during these challenging times. The one key piece of advice I'd like to offer someone who wants to become a successful property investor is, before you even start looking at any potential investments, is to develop a well-defined written property investment strategy. You need a strategy, people. Unfortunately, most people tend to overlook this, because they're in simply too much of a rush to buy their first investment. This is why most property investors don't succeed or invest in more than one property. And the reality is, one property is probably not going to be enough to achieve your dream life. Before you even start, it's important to ask yourself some key questions. Always start with the end in mind. For example, are you investing for financial support or early retirement, to improve your standard of living, your lifestyle, or for tax benefits, just to name a few? Detail to include in your strategy would be your goals, your risk profile, your financial capacity. What's your number? What is your goal financial freedom number, and by what age do you want to achieve it? Things like property types and versus investment objectives. Location, the all-important location. You've got to analyze the numbers, and you've certainly got to have an exit strategy as well. My recommendation is, once you've clearly defined all this into a written investment strategy, only then, if you have the capacity, should you commence looking and doing due diligence on a specific property with a view to purchasing and starting your investment portfolio. Don't buy on an emotion, stick to your strategy, and it's all about the numbers and the potential of the property. And if you need to, don't be afraid to seek help from a professional property advisor, because mistakes in property can be costly. Good luck with your investing.
Thank you and welcome to The Naked Property Investor. I'm joined today by Susan Farquhar, founder of Keller Property. Over the years, Susan's dedicated her business to helping people make better financial choices. Susan, it's great to have you join me.
Thanks, Kizzy. Great to join you as well.
I'm just going over your CV and wow, talk about interesting reading. Your list of achievements, it says top 10 property specialist in Australia, a contributing author to Insider's Know How Property Investment Australia, the Chamber of Commerce Award for Excellence in Innovation, and the list goes on and on and on. Let's go back a few years. Susan, how did you get started as a business?
That's a great question, Kizzy. And This is a really great story of, you know, turning something really bad into something great. So when I was, by the time I was 26 years old, I owned 6 investment properties. I first started investing when I was 21 years old. But I didn't have a huge amount of guidance in that regard in my life. And so I just, in Australia, there's a very strong sense of invest in property and you'll be fine. You know, there's that phrase, safe as houses. But I found out quite quickly when things took a bit of a harder turn in my life that that's not necessarily true. So when I was about 26, I had 3 life-changing events happen over the following 3 years. And in that time, I really had to reassess the properties that I had invested in. And I realized that I knew absolutely nothing about property. And I made the mistake that the majority of investors make, which is to invest in where they think they know. Now, when you really think about what you know about property, a lot of investors invest in the property as if they were going to live in it themselves. They're never going to live in it themselves. They're not buying a house. They're buying an asset class. So you really need to be able to assess the performance of a property, the cash flow before and after tax, the compound interest, the expected capital growth in the short term, and understanding a whole lot of variables that I just had absolutely no concept of. So by the time I was 28, 29, I had to sell down most of my properties, some of those at a loss, because I just could not afford the debt. I wasn't getting the rental income that I didn't even expect anything, so I really didn't know. So fast forward another 10 years, my life is back on track, I've got some money to invest, and I knew that property was the right asset class for me. I'm quite conservative and I'm quite risk averse when it comes to investment, and investing on the stock market was not going to be the right fit for me because I don't like the idea of, I mean, look at what's happening now or what's happening in a GFC or during a war, you know, massive, that you can have just such massive shocks to your investments. Whereas property, yes, of course you can have shocks to your investment, but the reality is people always need somewhere to live. People don't always need to buy washing powder or Cocoa Pops or, I don't know, you know, any other asset class. So, it made me really go back to and go, okay, I've got some money to invest now. How do I want to do that? And I knew that I still felt that property was the right asset class for me, but I needed to know what I didn't know 10 years before. So that's when I started researching property in a different way, property as a performance. And by then I had a degree in international relations, so I had a bit of a concept of research and what good research practices were. I had my qualifications in financial planning, so I understood money markets better and asset classes. And then I thought, okay, let me see what I don't know. So I started with 20 points of research. And that has now expanded to a research methodology called Keller Property Insights that incorporates 130 points of research.
Every time I hear your name mentioned, somebody invariably says Keller Insights, a holistic and diligent approach to building an investment portfolio. What does this mean in practice?
Okay, so there are 3 key areas of Keller Property Insights. The first area is the macroeconomic or the macro research. We start with the economy. Is the economy strong and diversified enough to support strong capital growth? We look at employment. What's the unemployment rates? If you've got really high unemployment rates, it's going to make it very difficult for people to pay a good market rate for your property. We look at the population, demographics, the infrastructure projects, as well as money supply. If interest rates are very high, then it's going to make it very hard for investors to invest in the market. So that's not ideal. So that's essentially, in a nutshell, that they're the macro research, but there's a lot more behind that, you know, those key subjects. The micro research is about, getting the timing right. So Color Property Insights is about pinpointing the right property in the right place at the right time. The macro research is about getting the timing of the market right. The micro research is getting the rental stability right. So who wants to live there? So if you're investing in a suburban family area, then probably investing in a one-bedroom apartment is not really going to be the best investment for you. You're better off investing in a large house. But if you're investing in an inner city or in a inner city suburb, then a one-bedroom apartment, two-bedroom apartment, three, a townhouse development might be a better option for you. And that really what we're looking at there is what kind of amenity does your potential tenant value. So if you're looking at a one-bedroom apartment, for example, you're not going to have the space for a gym and a swimming pool and a backyard, but you may well want to have a dog or a cat. Pet ownership is increasingly popular around the world. You want to be close to public transport. You need to have good internet access. You want to be close to parks and also really cool cafes and pubs, maybe a full service gym. So, and probably not a big shopping center, but a little shopping center that you can drop in and grab a few things on your way home. So that gives you an idea of, that type of tenant, because essentially your tenant is going to be paying for your investment. So once we've understood who the tenant is likely to be and what's the best kind of property, which is the right property in the right place at the right time, we then conduct due diligence on who is building in the area and finding out what their specifications are, their levels of inclusion, what their reputation is. A whole lot of things. Are they generational builders? Do they understand the local area? So that's kind of in a nutshell how Color Property Insights functions.
So in reality, it's a very holistic approach to this property investment.
Correct. It takes, and also when we do our recommendations, so the process with Color Property is our client, we do a Color Property discovery session with our client where we get to understand their strategy. So what are they trying to achieve? Most of our clients are wanting to achieve security and retirement, as well as tax minimization. They like property because you can leverage it. So you can borrow up to 95% and in some cases up to 100%. And also succession planning can be important for people as well, so that they can pass property down to their kids or grandkids. So that's how the Color Property Discovery session works, and they get to find out more about what our process is. Then we go away and look at what is the best property that we have sanctioned, if you like, into our portfolio, and we match those properties with our clients, and that is the Color Property Evaluation. And that's where they really get to see the research in action. So if I'm recommending a certain city, they'll see all of the drivers of capital growth in that city that I've identified. But it's not just about what the property looks like or what the location is like. We then do the cash flow for our clients before and after tax, so they know exactly how much this property is going to cost them. It might be cash flow positive, it might be cash flow negative, but if it's, if you've got busy professionals that are on a lot of money and have a lot of money to spare, if a property costs them $10 a week, they probably won't notice, right? That's two coffees or a couple of coffees here and there, or maybe lunch. But if it costs them $100 a week, we need to make sure that that's something that they can afford. And if they can't, it doesn't matter what that property looks like. It's not the right property for them. Then we have other properties that might be cash flow negative before tax, but cash flow positive after tax. And in that case, we need to talk to their accountants about how they're going to manage that process and make sure that they get all the tax deductions that they can.
Let's go back a few years and just tell me a bit more about the early years of Color Property. I'm fascinated by this. And I was wondering, what were the initial challenges you faced when getting Calla Property off the ground, and how did you overcome them?
That's a really great question. I guess I had been operating Calla Property in my own way before I commercialized it. So Calla, the letters in Calla, C-A-L-L-A, are actually the letters of the names in the people in my family, because I wanted that to form the value proposition of my company, not just then, but forever. And now, actually, we use that that value proposition for a whole lot of other reasons. We've coined a term, or our catchphrase, if you like, is building your dreams. So building your dreams is a 360 approach. So it's not just building your dreams in the obvious way for our clients, but our clients are also building ours. And I've actually now incorporated that into every aspect of my business. Because building your dreams was about building the dreams for my friends and family. And I had actually been recommending, I got back on my feet right after losing everything when I was younger. I got back on my feet because of Calla Property Insights. And I was able to help other friends and family invest in property really well. And as that started to perform, they said, can you help my friends? Can you help my family? And I thought, you know what, this is a really good opportunity to commercialize this and turn it into a business. I had been in business and an entrepreneur since I was very young, so it was a fairly easy thing for me to pivot into. I've now incorporated that idea of building your dreams into a full 360, where we now hire on that, we fire on that, we promote on that. I've had employees want to leave because they're not in the right position or it's not what they thought Calla Property was going to be for them. And I've said to them, look, building your dreams is inherent to everything that I do. So I know a lot of people, if I'm not building your dreams through Calla Property, show me how I can through another way. It might be that, and I've had one employee who just wasn't happy in the role that she was in, but she was a great person and we were able to put her into a different seat within the company, and she's so much happier now. So, you know, that's a guiding principle that has been really great for us. So the early days were firstly believing that I had a business when I had been able to help people. Also understanding how do I commercialize that, and how do I really get people to believe that this is going to work when I've got no track record of that from a company perspective. You know, just because my friends and family have invested in me doesn't exactly create a commercial case, you know, for people. And, you know, I'm really conscious, Kizzy, that people are coming to me with their future earnings. You know, most of my clients are looking for financial security in retirement. And while property, mostly the way I deal with it, property is a long game, it's important if they're wanting financial security that they have the opportunity to build a property portfolio. Now, the key to building a robust property portfolio is that you need to have strong capital growth fairly quickly so that you can leverage it into your second property, third property, fourth property. You know, the idea is that when it comes to cash, you only have to save enough cash for the deposit for the first one and the stamp duty and legals and whatever other costs are associated with it. But after that, if you've invested well, the capital growth that property has been able to achieve is the thing that's going to get you into your second property. Now, most of my clients after 5 years, most of my clients in that first year are on their third property or fourth property. So it's been really successful. But I wasn't able to demonstrate that in the first 6 months. So it required a lot of trust, and I learned so much in that first year. You know, if I look back at the presentations that I did to my clients in that first year, I'm staggered that they trusted me at all because, you know, as I said, I started with 20 points of research and now I've got 130. So from the time that I started researching this for myself to when I started my business, I also had qualifications in finance, broking, and had done an MBA in finance and a real estate agent's license. So I think really that's the thing that enabled people to trust me more, because I had that education and that backing behind me.
Have you ever found yourself at a point of no return, a point when you realized you'd committed yourself and you had no other choice but to go forward?
I guess I feel that now, because I've got employees, I've got clients that trust me, but it doesn't feel like a pressure. It feels like a phenomenal opportunity, because I absolutely love what I do. And seeing, being able to create that security and safety for my clients is just such a privilege. So I don't want this to end. And it really is such a privilege, and I just get so much joy out of it.
How would you describe the culture at Colour Property?
Well, I think the culture at Colour Property, the words that we throw around a lot are innovation, fun, loyalty, commitment. So, and there are quite a lot more. We've got them all written up on the walls in the office. But I think the main thing is innovation. My employees are encouraged to innovate. They're not micromanaged. They are trusted as we are trusted. And again, it's a 360. I'm innovating all the time. I'm providing a solution that allows my clients to potentially be more innovative, or for them to have found a more innovative solution to, depending on the government, for retirement, and to be able to be more innovative with their tax returns as well. But we also have a lot of fun. We really are like family, and it's a really nice culture, actually. If you're the right fit. If you're not the right fit, it's not going to work for you. If I have to micromanage you, I just do not have the time. And I think micromanaging stifles innovation. So I can't see that that's going to be in alignment with the values of Colour Property. But for the team that we have now, it's fantastic. And I'm expanding my team this year, and expecting to expand it even more next year.
It's interesting that you refer to the team quite a lot. I was wondering, during this process of building a team around you, do you hire according to ability, or do you hire according to attitude?
Absolutely to attitude and to fit. I can train for everything else. I have to say that's probably my downfall, is I don't sometimes find it hard to see where the training needs to occur, because I think our recruitment practices in general focus a lot on what people know rather than what people's attitudes are. I think it's very difficult to hire on people's attitudes. You can get a vibe for someone, but you don't have the questions for attitude in the way that you have the questions for ability. You can look at somebody's CV and you can look at somebody's education experience or, the training that they have done, but it's very difficult to know how they're going to handle a crisis or really I think the people are measured by where things go wrong, not when things go right. So when there is adversity or there's, difficulty, it's very hard to interview for that. And the interview process is nowhere near long enough, which is why we usually have those probation periods in place. But again, probation could be 3 months, and everyone can perform well in 3 months. So that can be a tricky thing as well. But regardless, it's a bit of a mix. One of my best employees ever, I hired her when she was a barista. So she was working in a cafe. She was on a student visa, but she was studying her master's in project management. And I hired her very, very quickly because I was going overseas for 5 weeks, and I just needed someone to handle the 5 people who were settling in those 5 weeks. I really didn't care how she performed. I didn't know her, but she was a friend of a friend, or a friend of a girl I used to work with who I really liked. And I really didn't know how she was going to go. And you know what, Kizzy, I actually didn't care because I knew I'd be back in 5 weeks' time and I could pick up the pieces. I honestly did not expect her to last beyond that period of time. She is now my most valued employee. She now has her master's in project management and she has added so much to my company. I trust her implicitly. And it's because we fit, you know, like it's not to say that we haven't been without our difficulties. Of course, it's, you know, we've been working together now for 2 years and there have been a lot of difficulties, well, a lot of changes, I guess, within the company as well as within the economic environment. But every single time she just rises to the occasion. When I came back from overseas after that 5 weeks, she had written the Colour Property Bible, which was just the handbook for everything that Colour Property, what you needed to do if you're a Colour Property employee. You know, she just has been innovating constantly, but we also have a lot of fun. So, yeah, hiring for fit is absolutely critical.
It's interesting when you're talking about your employment strategy, it reminded me of a few years ago when I was still working for other companies, and I remember going for this interview for a job that I actually got, but I was being interviewed by the managing director of the big publishing company, and he said to me during our last interview that at this company we believe that our most important asset is our people. What do you think, Kizzy? And I said, I don't agree at all. And so, you know, when you say something and the room goes completely quiet, you can hear a pin drop.
Sadly, I know that too well.
he said to me, what do you think? And I said, nope, I don't agree. And he went quiet and he said, what do you mean? I said, I don't think your most important asset is your people or are your people. I think your most important asset are the right people. I think if you've got the right people doing the right things, there's absolutely no limit to what you can achieve. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. And I think actually I think that the biggest asset is your culture. If you've got the culture right, then you will attract the right people and you will retain the right people. The biggest threat, I think, to your company is having the right people leave because they're either not inspired anymore or they're not being managed in the way that they need to be managed. But if you've got the right culture and you trust your people, they will perform so well. And I've just seen that time and time again. And, you know, it's all very well to talk about the successes, like I'm talking about my successes with employees. But when I look at my failures, the failures, you know, yes, of course, there's failure on both sides, but I can see that sometimes or some of the failure that's on my side has been my inability to communicate with them the way that they need to be communicated with, or I haven't trained them enough, or they just don't understand enough of what is in my head to be able to perform well. The fact that they haven't performed has not actually always been their fault. And I guess that's, you know, that's how you grow as a leader. And these are some of the lessons that I've learned over time. And I hope to make fewer of those lessons fewer of those mistakes and be clearer about what my culture actually means so that I can, you know, from here on in start attracting and retaining the best employees for my company.
And I guess the reality is that with each one of these mistakes that we all go through, you can learn something from it.
Hopefully, yeah. Otherwise, and if you can't, you're never going to be a good leader. But I'm always looking for the opportunity, you know, always looking for, okay, how could I have done that better or where did I go wrong? And it's not just from a company perspective. That way of thinking has also been what has grown Colour Property Insights and has grown it from 20 points of research to 130. Because whenever I see something that I didn't know before, I expand on it and research it and try to evaluate it to see whether it is important or not, whether it's something worthwhile bringing into this methodology or not. And obviously, over the last 5 years, it often has been the case that I've found more things that have contributed to my to a better understanding of the properties that I'm recommending. And I hope I never stop. You know, I hope I never stop learning, both from a business perspective as well as from the research methodology.
I have a feeling that you're not going to stop learning, because we're always students and tutors at the same time. I've got a note here saying we've got to talk about what's going on around us at the moment, because we've got a few more minutes left of this interview. And I guess it'd be kind of odd for us to not approach this huge elephant in the room. Susan, how resilient do you think the housing market is to this pandemic that we're going through at the moment?
Okay, obviously that's something I'm looking at on a daily, if not hourly, basis. I'm getting my advisors give me reports pretty much every day on what that means from a financial perspective, from an HR perspective, from everything else around it, right? Health, obviously. So I guess I think the best way to look at this is in terms of pros and cons, right? In terms of cons, obviously, this is a health issue first and foremost, and that is what we are trying to tackle. But I'm not a doctor, so my arena is in the economic area. So, and that's where housing falls into. So from the health perspective, this is absolutely devastating for all the people who have, you know, been affected by this, whether they've been affected personally or their friends or family, employees, businesses. Well, businesses, I guess, is more economic. But, it's, you know, there's no question that this is a devastating time in our world. However, it's encouraging how quickly we have understood this virus and how quickly we are responding to this virus. And I am fairly confident that in most countries in the world, this will be over fairly soon, like within, even last week I was saying within the next 6 months, but I'm fairly heartened to think that it might be in the next 4 months. But, you know, again, this data is changing daily. But what I can speak to that, you know, that I have some authority to speak over, I'll speak about is the property market, the economic environment. I feel like governments around the world are providing, well, a lot of wealthy governments around the world are providing really good stimulus packages that are enabling companies to stay open and companies to keep employing their people. They're also dropping interest rates. So this is an historic low interest rate environment for property, which means that if you are in a position to invest in property, it's a really good time to invest in property. Now, I don't say that flippantly. Last week, I got an email from someone who reacted to a newsletter that I put out, basically saying this is a great time to invest in property. And he was just like, are you kidding me? Like this, you know, wake up to yourself. People are dying. And that is absolutely true. And I guess the tone of my message wasn't right, because I was consciously not trying to contribute to the negativity, because it was actually getting me down. I was trying to provide the silver lining. But in saying that, you know, it's very important to acknowledge that this is a serious health pandemic. I guess all I can do is to look at what the positives are in this and why it's important to focus on the positives as well. The reason why it's important to focus on positives is because people need houses. Investors provide the majority of low-cost housing in the country. So if you are in a position to invest, you almost have a responsibility to continue that supply for people to have a roof over their head. It's a basic human need to have shelter. Also, construction is considered an essential service. So while construction is still open for business, then you don't want to slow that down, because it is, you know, there are other areas of the economy that aren't performing at all. You know, hospitality sector, the event sector, hotels, like it's devastating to imagine what those companies are going through right now. But as an economy, we are in a position, my company and my contacts and my contact sphere, we are in a position to keep that part of the economy going and thriving once this is over. So it's really important to not stop that. So I think that's where, and if we do stop that, there's going to be a massive supply issue. Now, every area that I would recommend for my clients is already undersupplied. So if we stop building now, if we stop investing now, then in 6 months' time, that's going to be even worse. And when you couple that with governments working with banks to provide mortgage relief, then if you are eligible for mortgage relief, then you should pass that on to your renters and your tenants. So I was speaking to a couple today who have a couple of investment properties through me, and I say, give them a call, find out where, you know, find out what they're up to and what their economic or financial situation is like. And if they're struggling, then ring your lender and come to an arrangement that is satisfying for your tenant. And I can guarantee that not only are you doing a great thing because your tenant has got a roof over their head without having to be concerned, they're also going to be able to have more meaningful conversations with what they need to their employers, which hopefully will keep the employment open for longer. And they're really going to be a loyal customer. They will always appreciate that kind of kindness. So that's my take on it for the short term. But I think it's also important to look at property as a long-term investment. So, and the other advantage, which I found really heartening, Kizzy, is that when this first started to hit, and, you know, for us in Australia, it was only a couple of weeks ago, really, that this started to really hit home, I was able to ring all of my builders and developers and say, okay, what can we do? What are the assurances? You know, we've got some property that hasn't been completed yet that's off the plan. The last thing that anybody wants is for all of those sales to fall over. And one developer or builder straight off the bat said, how about we give them a four-month finance clause? Fantastic. This property is not meant to be completed until the end of October. 4 months gives them till the end of August. And that allows them to not commit to anything. Well, they commit, they sign a contract. But if for some reason they can't get finance in 4 months' time, they're going to be able to get out of it. They're not going to lose a single cent or a single day. So if in this time they've lost their jobs or their, you know, business goes under or is on hold and they just cannot afford to get into it, or curing this virus takes longer than we expect, they are not at risk. And my whole job here is maximizing opportunity and mitigating risk. We've had other builders offer us a 5% rental guarantee for 12 months. Now, when you've got interest rates at, you know, 2%, that's going to be a great investment for our clients. And it allows us to keep that part of the economy keeping on going. It allows us to have the conversation that allows our tenants to have a roof over their head, as well as not stress out our investors for something that is a short-term issue but will have a long-term gain. So I think that people are going to be in a better position more than ever if they can afford to invest now. But I also appreciate, obviously, that not everyone can invest. But for my investors, I'm urging them to have those conversations with those tenants, and hopefully that means that we'll bounce back fairly quickly as a community as well as a country.
Well, a message of hope there and a much needed silver lining for a black cloud that threatens the whole world. Susan, we've got just about enough time to go into a section of the show we call this 30-second masterclass. Now, don't be alarmed. What this means is that you have 30 seconds to sum up the most important lessons our listeners should take away from this conversation. Are you game?
Oh, okay, yes. I'm ready. Let's go. Okay, the most important thing as an investor is to seek professional advice. Most investors will invest in a property and take less time with less information that they would take to buy a pair of shoes or a mobile phone or a digital TV. So please see an investor, seek out investors that come with great reviews and a lot of education and that just make sense to you and understand the strategies that you're trying to achieve. The next thing that is critical to this is that you create your own wealth creation team, or your investor does. So get the right people on your side in your team that will enable you to invest really well for the long term. And that means understanding your tax position, making sure that you have the right structure, the structure set up either through your accountant or financial planner, and also your mortgage broker, whether that's interest only, principal and interest, et cetera, et cetera. You get all of those things in place and you will already be streets ahead of most people that go into property investment.
Summed up so perfectly. That's absolutely brilliant. Susan, I have hundreds of questions still to ask you, but I know we have run out of time a long while ago, but I've got so much I want to talk to you about. I'm wondering, perhaps we should maybe book a second conversation in a couple of months' time so we can touch base again and share some more ideas and insight on property investment. What do you reckon?
I would love that, Kizzy. Let's do it.
Okay. Well, until then, it's been an amazing experience sharing this time with you. And I want to thank you so much for sharing your insight and wisdom on The Naked Property Investor.
Thank you so much, Kizzy. It's been a pleasure.
Well, my conversation with Susan is a great reminder that a resourceful person like Susan can see opportunity when others only see obstacles. And if you want to be successful in this business of property investment, in fact, in any business, in any industry, if you want something, you must, like Susan, become relentless for success, resourceful for what you need, and resistant to excuses. This is a lesson that successful property investors like Susan Farquhar are teaching us every day. See you next week.